Wow. Just let that sink in for just a little bit. Some of us right now are in our winter season, and you're wondering if you're ever going to see spring again. Some of you are hurting, disappointed at what life has brought. You feel like that seed buried beneath the snow. It seems like it's not coming. But let me just tell you, there is a spring that's coming, and there's a harvest waiting, and that God's timing is perfect, and that He never fails. Your role is to patiently wait what God is unfolding so that He brings about in His time the harvest for you in your life. You see, I think about Christmas, because Christmas all the time often brings to light the pain of broken relationships, the pain of hurts from the past, the pain that we struggle with, the hurt, the disappointment of life. And I want to talk to you today about the healing power of King Jesus. You see, because there was a baby in a manger, we hold that picture of the nativity scene close to our heart, and we cherish it, and we ooh and awe about it. But it really wasn't that pretty. It really wasn't that all that it's cut out to be. If you actually were there at that moment in time, it was actually nasty, dirty, painful, hurtful. No one really knew the end story at that time. Oh, we had prophetic words, but no one had seen the end. Jesus came as a baby in the manger on that Christmas 2,000 plus years ago. But He came as King Jesus. He came as our healer. He came as our deliverer. He came as the one who would set us free from bondage. He came right now so that you could have wholeness in life. He came, yes, to save you from your sins. That's the healing of your soul. But He came also to heal your body and to heal your mind and to heal every part of you. He is your healer in this place right now. He can heal disappointments. He can heal you physically. He can give you hope for tomorrow. That's King Jesus. That's who we're talking about today. There's a scripture, Isaiah chapter number 53. Verse number 4 and 5, it says, yet it was our weakness He, as King Jesus, carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. See, Jesus comes to heal our soul, but He's come also to heal our body, our mind, emotions, and make us whole again. Somebody lay hold of that promise today, and somebody receive the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me all across this place, and I would like for you to grab hands of the person next to you at all locations, please. I believe before we walk out of this place today, there is going to be lives that are going to be totally changed forever for the better because of the word that has came forth that you've laid hold of and believed in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Healing is coming. Father, I just pray across this room that we see Jesus is more than the baby in a manger, but we see Him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And God, may we begin to lay hold of the promises in Your word and believe that healing is for us, that all healing is for us, that You came to heal our soul and forgive us of our sins, but You came to heal us from our past and our emotional baggage. to heal us, God, from the mental battles that go on inside of us, from our addictions, from our broken relationships. You've come to heal us once and for all. You came to deliver and to set the captive free in the name above every name. The name that the demons in hell tremble at, the name of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. And everyone said a big amen. Turn to somebody on right or left, give them a high five and say, this is going to be good today. How many of you, by show of hands, would help me out with this? How many, by show of hands, would say that, you know, Pastor, there are areas of my life that I need healing, I need wholeness in? It could be from injury, it could be from illness, it could be from issues that you deal with. It could be past, but there's areas that still need to be healed or you need to be whole. Raise your hand. Hold them up across this place. Keep them up. Don't put them down. Hold them up. Hold them. Look around. Now, this is for the remainder of people. Keep your hands up. If you know of somebody that you love that needs healing, wholeness, injury, illness, sickness, disease, whatever it may, raise your hand. Now, look around. Pretty much every single hand is uplifted because that's human nature. That's who we are. We're broken people. We are broken people. I read a stat this week that 3 out of 5 Americans regularly, habitually take prescription drugs. That's the ones that they know. Why is that? Because everybody is trying to escape a pain. A pain that they have in their body, mind, emotions. Because we all live in a nature, in a world that is filled with hurt. In John chapter number 9, it tells the story of Jesus healing a man that I want to pinpoint today and talk about. Verse number 1, it says this, John 9, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go and wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as the blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the one who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they call Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. I want to break this text down into 3 key thoughts. We'll talk about the pain, talk about the problem, talk about the process. But first off, I want to talk about the pain. Here is a man who's been blind for how long? All of his life, forever. Since he was born, he's been blind. That's a long time to have a pain. That's a long time to have a struggle. In fact, that's all he had ever known. And can you imagine the struggle of what that would mean to be blind? Even in today's terms, that would be very difficult and be life-altering. It would just impact every part of your life. But could you imagine then in the culture, they didn't have the things that could prop you up and support you like we have today? didn't have the programs, didn't have the understanding, and so therefore you were relegated to the street to beg for even sustenance so that you could eat that day. That's what this guy had, to be made fun of, to be questioned. Other people saying, well, no, who messed up in his life that he is born this way? And people judging you and passing judgment on you. The pain that he dealt with on a continual basis was great, was deep. And I began to think about what happens when we carry pain with us over long periods of time. And I wrote down two things that I feel like that it impacts us. When we carry pain, whatever that pain is, that pain of unforgiveness, the pain of regret, the pain of, you know, something that happened years ago, something that was done to us, it causes two crucial things that alters our lives. First off, discouragement. It creates great discouragement. Several years back, I had an intense pain in my arm, my elbow, that I, from an injury, and I dealt with it week after week. My weeks turned into months. My months turned into many months. 14 months I carried this pain. I tried to find answers for it, got physical therapy for it, got people teaching me how to, and it would never go away. That pain was great. Matter of fact, shaking hands was an impossibility. I'd sometimes be caught, got off guard because somebody would reach out to grab my hand and I would just shake and the pain would shoot all through my arm. I couldn't open bottles. I had to use my left hand. The pain was there. In fact, after weeks, and it turned into months, discouragement began to set in. I began to struggle with it. I look back now and I say that was just an arm injury, and I'm not taking away the pain of that. That was very much real for me. But there's much greater pains. They run much deeper. And people couldn't see my pain, and maybe your pain is not visible. And maybe others can't see it and identify it and touch it, but it is there and it is real and it is constant with you. And you saw that pain of discouragement will create a couple of things. Discouragement will lead to determination or will lead to depression. Stop and think about that, and the choice is up to you. Discouragement over a long period of time either will cause you to sink your roots down and have an increased fortitude that says, you know what, I may be going through a dark season, I may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but there is a God who is in control, and at some point in some time, my winter season is going to be over, and I'm going to see spring again, and there is going to be a harvest again, and you're going to have a determination that God is going to get you through this one way or another. You might not see the end, but he's going to get you through, or depression sets in. Depression, despondency, a give up, it's not worth it. God has failed me. It's all over. The second word that comes to my mind is compensate. When we deal with pain for long periods of time, we begin to compensate for that pain. I know of an individual that has struggled with a specific pain for years that no one really knows about, or very few people do. But he began to turn to alcohol just to get the edge off. That alcohol that got the edge off and numbed him for a moment became a pattern. The pattern becomes a habit. And today he's a high-functioning alcoholic. Most people would not know. Matter of fact, the people around him, they know he drinks, but they didn't realize the extent of what this is doing in his life. Now, those closest to him see the impact, feel the impact, know it every day. But for many others, he's just a high-functioning guy, still does his job, has a great job, things are happening well in his life. But all of that stems from pain that has never been fully dealt with in his life. There's individuals that struggle with spending. And man, they spend, they get, and they're carrying credit cards and they're juggling all the stuff, and they've learned to compensate. And part of that is because they need something to make them feel good. That newness of buying that having the new item actually makes them feel good. It is part of covering up a real deeper pain that's down deep inside of them. And so they go ahead and do it. Everybody else thinks they're doing fine. They're doing great. The truth of the matter is they're carrying weight. They're carrying stress. They're carrying the debt load that is weighing them down, and they are struggling greatly while everybody else thinks they're doing fine. I know of individuals that their marriage is dead in the water. There's no intimacy. There's no real relationship. Their roommates existing together. They're doing it for the kids because if we can just get the kids. And, you know, the bottom line is, they are trying to compensate and trying to make things work. And the truth of the matter is they need healing from Jesus and forgiveness and reconciliation and restoring that only King Jesus can give. There's individuals that struggle with porn. And they'll look for just a little bit and then be off of it for a couple of weeks and then fall back in the same trap and think, why am I doing this? Because there's something you're trying to fulfill. There's something that you're trying to get out of an image and someone else that you don't even know that can only be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Compensate. Let me just say, you cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. And as long as you keep tolerating things in your life, you're never going to fully change. It's always going to be something that you can never completely get rid of if you're going to simply tolerate what's going on in your life. And your desperation at some point must become greater than your disability if you're going to experience deliverance. Let me say that again. Your desperation must become greater than your disability if you're ever going to experience deliverance in your life. Secondly, I'm going to talk about the problem. The problem. So this man was blind for all of his life. And people began to try to identify his specific problem. What do they say? It must be his sin. Or maybe it was his parents' sin. It is amazing how people will begin to label you and begin to say this is your problem. And they don't really know you. They don't know what's going on. And then even sometimes you'll begin to carry that weight. Maybe it's because of my sin. Maybe it's because of what I did back then. And maybe it's because of this. And you know what? The devil will capitalize on that in a heartbeat and throw heaping bits of guilt and condemnation on you and remind you of your past. I was thinking about this in regards to my uncle. 39 years of age, 3 children, a senior in high school, 11-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And he dies. We prayed. We believed. We believed the cancer wasn't going to have him because he was a man of God, man of faith and power. We prayed. We believed. We stood on God's word. We had many others rallying behind us. A godly man. And I remember when he died and somebody saying, you know, now they got to adjust to a new normal in their life. And I'm saying normal. This should not be normal. This should not be normal. It's not meant for him to die. He is a godly man. And I had questions for God. I still have questions for God in certain things in people's lives today. And I begin to wrestle with that and struggle with that because this is not meant to be normal. And you know what, church? Sin and death and struggle and pain and heartache is not meant to be normal. That's not the way God created things. Which breaks it down to why. Why the problem then? Let me give you 3 reasons. One is because of sin. Go back to Genesis chapter number 3. Sin entered the picture. And when sin entered the picture, you know what it infiltrated? It infected and affected every part of this world in our lives. And it changed what God intended. God didn't intend for that to happen. Because of the choice of our great, 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 great grandfather, a guy named Adam, all of us are a part of Adam. They're a part of a fallen nature, and sin has infected and affected everything. And it's now not what God intended. Second thing is this. Choices. So sin obviously stepped into the picture. But then we have choices. We have decisions. How many of you have ever seen what's called a free climber? They call it soloing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That amazes me. I truly am amazed as I watch these guys climb up straight up cliffs. Skyscrapers without any type of support system at all. There is nothing. It is a pass or fail course. Literal. You either do it or you don't. It's reached the top or you don't reach the top. It's, and I'm amazed. One, this just past month, very famous, millions of followers. Did not make it. Sad story, fell to his death. And that happens. It's a choice. You know what? I look at life right now, and a lot of our choices of pain and sorrow is because we have made choices against what God wanted for our lives, against the plan God had for us. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 15, look what it says. God laid it out there for the children of Israel. He says, now listen. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. So the truth of the matter is we all have a choice. Are we going to line up to God's way of doing things or our way of doing things? Are we going to do what our flesh wants or what the power of the Holy Spirit wants? Are we going to line up to the written word of God or are we going to choose our own words and lay it out there and do our own thing in life? You see, we all have choices. And a lot of the pain and suffering in our life is because we made choices that go against God's word and against God's plan and against God's agenda for our life. And so therefore we struggle greatly. The third one is this. Third one is forces. The problem is because of forces that we are up against, called spiritual warfare. This past weekend, I was preaching all experiences at North Church this past weekend. And I'd had this new sweater that I had. And I preached all weekend, all experiences. And I had noticed on Sunday specifically that I kept feeling this like sharp poke in my side. And even while I was speaking, I'd kind of rub it. And I'd kind of just like, oh, that hurts. And I'd just kind of keep preaching. I finished all three experiences. I go up to Deer Creek for the volunteer high capacity leader orientation. I met with all everybody. And then on the way there, as we're standing in the lobby, I realize I'm still hurting. I pull out a tack that's that wide that was sticking in my side. It was kind of embarrassing too, a little bit. That's what's going on. And I thought of the scripture of the Apostle Paul, who wrote more than 2/3 of the New Testament, who talked about one time a thorn in his flesh. You know what? He even talks about that thorn there that brought pain. It was an issue of pain, an issue of hurt in his life, a problem he had going on. And he prayed 3 times. And the scripture says, though he prayed 3 times, it wasn't removed. In fact, God gave him this word back. He said, my grace is sufficient for you in your time of need. My grace is sufficient for you. You see, there are real forces that are fighting against you. There is the Holy Spirit that is for you, but there are unclean spirits that are against you. There's the divine presence of God that is for you, but there are demonic forces that are against you. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew 18. Look what it says. It says, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out evil spirits with a single command, and he healed all the sickness. Hear me on this. Demon possession is a real thing, and there is real demonic activity out there. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear me on this. You cannot be demon possessed, but you can be oppressed by the attacks of the enemy upon your soul and upon your life. I look back in my own life, and there was a situation right when we started North Church. There was somebody that attacked me. It was an issue that happened, and it hurt deeply, but I had forgiven. I had always kind of prided myself in the idea that, you know, I'm easy to forgive and I have thick skin. But there was something different about this that lodged deep inside of me. And for the next 5 years, I struggled. I did the right thing. I forgave. I went through the right process. I even sought help. But I seemed to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about this. I would think about it throughout the day. It would begin to consume my life. Most people did not know about it. Only a couple of people knew even about this. But I struggled for years. Years it was a struggle. But I came through that. And I look back now at those first 5 years of my life. I believe it was partly, and I really feel the Holy Spirit, that God allowed this attack in my life. He allowed this process to happen. Not to pull me down. Not to destroy me. But to make me stronger. I believe the man I am today and the preacher I am and the leader I am and the husband I am and the father I am goes back to the struggle that I had during that 5-year period of learning to trust God even when it seemed like there was no way out. Learning to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and continuing by faith to do the right thing even when I did not know what the outcome was going to be. And I'm telling you, there's some of you right now that are struggling deeply inside yourself and you're being attacked by demonic forces, but you are a Christian and you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Keep doing the right thing. Keep obeying God. Keep trusting God. And I'm telling you, what the devil has meant for evil, God is going to turn around for his glory. And what the struggle of yesterday is the strength of today. And you're going to be stronger tomorrow because you trusted God yesterday. Come on. That's good. That's God. Number 3 is this. Is the process. Let me talk to you about the process. We got the pain. We got the problem. We got the process. There's 2 things I want you to understand real quick that are wrong. First off is this. Some people will say, God no longer heals. Hogwash. That's a technical term. From Spiro, Oklahoma. Not true. My God is still a healing God. King Jesus is still on the throne. He's not left his place of authority and power, and he still heals. The same one that healed then said, greater things shall you do. Okay? His disciples immediately began to reveal the power of God as they went out and said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we're going to give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went running, leaping, and praising God. God is still a healing God. He's still in control. Second thing is this. If you're not healed, it's your fault that God has not healed you. Now, hear me in this. I do know in my own life that there has been times that I have just failed to obey God. And I haven't received the healing because I have not joined the process that God wants me to go through. Does that make sense? But there has been other times in my life that I know that my heart was right and I had obeyed God and I'd done the best I can. And I have seen other people go through and obeyed God and they still didn't see the outcome that they wanted in their life. You see, your role is not to try to figure that out. Your role is just to simply obey God and join the process that he has for you. You see, and the person behind the process is King Jesus. Jesus is the process. Jesus is the one. He is. And tell you, sometimes you're not going to like the process he takes you through. Come on, how about this blind man right here? The first thing he does as part of the process, he spits. When it involves spit, you might not want to be a part of the process. I mean, it's like, uh-oh, I don't know about this. When he starts off with just like, I don't know if I want to join that process. You see, the process that Jesus takes you through is not always going to be the most inviting, appealing. It's not going to be the one that you're like, oh, yeah. No, it's not always going to feel good, but the process that he takes you through always works. You see, the problem is we want our process. We want it the way we want it. We want to go through it the way we want to go through it. And God says, no. This is my gig. This is my thing. This is my world. This is my play. You got to follow my pattern for your healing in your life. So some people ask this. They said, when are we going to really be once and for all healed? That's a great question. This is key to note. Just as Jesus had to suffer, had to die, and rose again, so the follower of Jesus Christ must, suffer, die, and rise again. He rose again with his resurrected new body, and we will rise again with a resurrected new body. In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 4, look at it and see what it says. This is the hope of the follower of Christ when we stand before King Jesus, and King Jesus looks at us, and the Bible says here, Revelation 21, he says these words, he, Jesus, will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more hurt, no more suffering, no more dying of loved ones, no more divorce, no more struggle. All these things are gone for what? Ever. That's the hope that we have in King Jesus. What does that mean for the here and now? Does that mean all hope is lost? Oh, absolutely not. No, there is healing for now. I got a question for you. If Jesus were on the earth today and you were sick, would you get to him? Come on, if Jesus was somewhere in India right now and you knew that King Jesus was actually there in India, how many of you right now would be saying, oh, if Jesus was there, I'd be getting my plane ticket and heading over there right now, right? I would. I'd be the first one to go buy my ticket and head on I'm going to India. I'm telling you, King Jesus is here right now. King Jesus is here to heal, to deliver, to set free. What about modern medicine? How does that fit into the process? No. Anything that modern medicine has is only a gift from King Jesus. It's only a revelation. God has given them the abilities to create. And as creative beings, there's going to be advancements. There's going to be breakthroughs. But it's still all a gift from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes from where? The Father above. Come on, folks. When you go and you break your arm and you go to the doctor and the doctor puts the bones back together and puts a cast, did the doctor heal your arm? Absolutely not. You know what the doctor did? He just used some knowledge that he has learned over the years and the foundation of other generations before. He puts the bones together, he wraps a cast around it, and in that isolation, King Jesus heals the arm back together. My daughter went in this past, if you went to a therapist and you went to somebody, a biblical therapist, and they're giving you the word of God, and you know what? You come out and you begin to advance and you begin to have healing from your past circumstances and your struggles in your life. Who healed you? Did that therapist, did that counselor heal you? Absolutely not. You know what they gave you? An environment surrounded with the word of God so that you can lay hold of those promises and you can improve yourself through the power of Jesus Christ. I have people come to me and say, Pastor, your messages and your preaching and what happened in our church changed my life and healed me, delivered me, set me free. And I look at them and say, well, praise be to Jesus because he's the one that really did that. You see, I'm just the messenger that opens God's words and gives an environment so that you can be healed. But you've got to lay hold of the promises of God. And when you lay hold of the process and the promises of God, King Jesus comes and brings deliverance and healing in your life. That's what it's about. So what does this mean? King Jesus, when he was on this earth, there's three ways in which he healed. And he gave us instructions in healing. First off is this, you pray from a distance. There's some of you right now that you know of people that need healing of some type. And that healing is broad, it's wide. They need wholeness. You can pray from a distance and there is no distance in prayer. King Jesus works. Three different times Jesus prayed and healed in the distance. 27 times in the New Testament, he actually had individual persons that he just laid hands on and prayed. And he found that person and says, Todd, I'm going to pray for you. And Todd was healed immediately. 27 times. 10 different times in the New Testament, the Gospels, there was groups of people. Sometimes it doesn't even say how many. There's a large groups of people. And it says sometimes many were healed and other times all were healed. And they just brought and they, boom, people being healed. It's the work of God. But three times at a distance, he prayed and they were healed. Secondly is this, pray laying on of hands and anointing with oil. Pray laying on of hands and anointing with oil. See, this is the part of the process that God uses that works. Jesus took that blind man. You know what he did? He laid hands on the guy. Come on, he spit in the ground. Come on, that was the first anointing oil. Come on, there has never been more anointed spit that's ever been on this planet. Pure, holy spit. Man. And he laid hands and prayed. There's power with that connection of laying on the hands. As believers, with the power of God coursing through their body, believing and trusting in the name of Jesus Christ, come in agreement with someone else, and boom, there's healing. That oil, James 5, 16, 14 through 16 talks about it. That anointing oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There's not mystical power in that oil. There is power in faith and obedience to what God has given us. My daughter, I was thinking about this on the miracle of healing. I started this and stopped it just a second ago. She went in this past week when it comes to miracles of healing. In medical miracles. She went in this past week. She's been pretty much blind for years. She wakes up at night, she can't see anything. Without glasses, I mean, literally nothing in front of her face. You could walk in the room and she would like have no clue that you're there, just feet away. She can't see. And so she finished her last final. University of Tulsa comes in Thursday, gets her exam. On Friday morning goes in. She has LASIK eye surgery. And the moment she comes out of LASIK eye surgery, they told her in advance that she wouldn't be blurry, it'd be all this stuff because of just having the surgery. But when she opened her eyes and she walked out, she lit up like a candle. And she was like, wow. For the first time, she could see. I believe that there's people that are in this place right now that you're going to leave for the first time seeing God's plan, power, and provision in your life like never before. Lastly is this. Keep praying and continue to obey in faith. Keep praying and continue to obey in faith. Keep praying and continue to obey in faith. You know what this blind man did? God, Jesus, laid hands on him, put the mud on his eyes, said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible says he went, sent was the pool of Siloam, and on his way. You see, sometimes the miracle doesn't happen immediately. Even for King Jesus, it didn't happen immediately. It's not because King Jesus can't do it. It's just that he chose that process at different times to do different things to bring out your faith and trust in him and so that God could be glorified. Are you hearing me? There was times throughout the scripture that they were healed on their way. And I don't know, if you walk up and you're not immediately healed, the life doesn't change, circumstances doesn't change, your marriage doesn't change, your finances doesn't change, don't get discouraged and don't stop believing. Just keep obeying Him and keep praying and know that somewhere on the journey, God is gonna give you the miracle, folks. Jeff and Lacey, go back to them. What a powerful story that's gripped my heart. A year ago this month is when she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Because of somebody else's invite, they came to church, not religious people, but all of a sudden now they're very religious people, trusting in God. They could have got bitter, but they got better. They're trusting in Christ Jesus. This Thursday, she went down to MD Anderson in Houston because their story is still unfolding. And they had to remove more cancer off of her liver. They've removed most of her, or part of her colon, and the cancer there, and they're still trusting God and still believing God. And as a church family, we're believing that King Jesus can and will heal their body and that God will restore. But I love their faith, because their faith is not even in the here and now. Their faith is in the then and there. They say, no matter what, we're just gonna trust King Jesus, because King Jesus has it all figured out. That's what it's all about. That's what real faith is about. Real faith boils down to you trust Him no matter what process He sends you through.